Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Finding You with Marvin Rome. It's another fantastic Wednesday. It's Potluck Wednesday. It's a Wednesday for finding you and working on yourself. And so, as we always begin our program segments, we begin with the Empowerment Pledge. And that pledge is, I will work on myself. I will work on my issues, my concerns, my hurts, and my pains. I will, with support and assistance, strive to develop the tools necessary to become a better person. I will welcome growth within myself by acknowledging that I am becoming better every day, just one day at a time. And all you have to do is begin to work on yourself, just one day at a time. Work on your issues, work on the things that you know you need to work on to change, and begin the process of becoming the best person that you can be, just one day at a time. And that's all that needs to happen. If you will begin every day to take time to work on yourself, to work on your issues, to work on your life, to work on those things that you know you need to work on and change. Begin today to do the things that you know you need to do to become a better person. Whether that's a parent, friend, mother, father, brother, sister, politician, soldier, priest, pastor, teacher. Let's work on ourselves. Let's become the best people that we can be. And without further delay, I bring to you from our Harrisonburg studios, it's my good friend and co-host and main man, Stan Macklin. Stan.
Hey.
Are you available? Hey, Stan.
I'm in the house. Yes, I am.
Oh, bro. How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. I tell you, I'm just dandy, as they said in the old days.
Dandy, I like that.
Yes, dandy.
Okay, well,
what do you used to add something else to? You used to say dandy, handy.
I know fine and dandy. I'm fine and dandy. So you sound fine and dandy.
I am. I really am.
Well, that's great. Well, what do you have for us today? But before we get started, I got a young man who's going to call into the program to talk about his art exhibition. So we'll get started, and then when he calls in, we'll talk to him for a few moments, okay?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right, so what do you have? We'll bring him in probably midway of the show.
Well, there's on the current event scene, there is, as usual, lots of things that are going on, but I tell you this, two things that I definitely like to get into. One of them is in regard to what's happening with the Veteran Affairs Department. That, I think, is a national disgrace. I feel that those men and women who have given of their time, their talents, their sacrifice, their dedication, to come back here and to hear about 40 individuals that died because they on a waiting list, that's just unacceptable to me. The president, he did have a conference, and he's just said that enough is enough. And he's holding the secretary into accountability to get to the bottom of it. What happened out there in Phoenix was just something else. And I guess there's other places that's going on around the country. But, you know, you're a veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you utilize that services. I would trust you. Perhaps too. You stay pretty healthy though. But I just think that's unacceptable, especially if you come back to this country from a time, a tour of service and duty, and you happen to have some disabilities because of such, and you can't even see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's uncalled for. Uncalled for.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your perspectives on that? You're a veteran.
Well, as a veteran, I would say this from my own personal experience, and many people don't know this, but I'll be honest about it today. I'm a veteran, and I can't say I've been to the VA maybe 3 times, and from my experience, there was never open access to providing me with the information that I need to get the services that I need. And it was probably up until last year where I met some people who shared some information that could help me, but I've been out of the military for at least 24 years now. And I think if I had a more severe disability, things would have been difficult for me. So I didn't have any guidance. I didn't have anyone to take me through the process. I didn't have anyone to share information with me. And this is really the first time I'm really saying this, because a lot of people don't know my condition and what I live with and my situation. But I will say that I haven't had very much support from that aspect of it to
in what
really
way?
Share.
In what way?
I mean, I think there was no one available to tell me what my benefits were. I mean, they send me information in the mail, but there's no liaison. There's no person who is my personal guide or my personal director, so to speak, that tells me, you know, the services available to me. I didn't get any of that.
So you blowing the whistle too. So I do know that there's veteran hospitals right there in Richmond, and you're saying that the service is mediocre or just downright poor.
Well, I think services are available, but I think you have to be very much in a position to push for what you want. I don't know how many soldiers or military people come through the Veterans Administration, and I'm not trying to put them down anyway, but
the truth is the truth.
Personal standpoint, and I'm not throwing a whistle or anything like that. But my experience was I didn't have connection. I didn't have a resource. I didn't have people who were able to guide me through the process. That's what I was.
Now, let me ask, let me just be the devil advocate here. Isn't that, shouldn't you take initiative to go there and to find out the services they do offer and find what's available instead of expecting a knock on the door and somebody to come? You know, sometimes we got to take the initiative to do things for ourselves. It's called a helping hand, helping yourself. They're looking for a handout.
Well, I don't think if you have a disability, and they've confirmed, trust me, if you have a disability from the military, you have one. At some point, it's not like you could just nickel and dime it, or you could just wake up and say something is wrong with me. They're going to make sure that something is wrong with you. Now, those fellow military people who have further or deeper issues in terms of the things that disable them and dysfunction them, that's different. And I think when you look at people who have post-traumatic disorders or individuals who have limbs missing, it should be the VA's responsibility to reach out to them and have people available to assist and support them through the process the whole time. And again,
maybe,
I'm only speaking for myself.
Yeah, and that's okay. But maybe they should be permitted to participate in the regular medical services that are provided like everybody else. Instead of waiting and people dying, I mean, that's just unacceptable. Somebody needs to go to the chopping block, I feel. I just don't understand that. Here we are, you know, people, they gave of themselves to do a service. And then here they are fighting to get medical care. That's just That's just ridiculous, and I'm ashamed of that department. I just really am, and I'm not even a veteran. I'm not even a veteran, but I just feel that is just unacceptable in America. I you know, and come on, let's face it. I mean, these men and women, we've had a whole decade of wars, fighting wars, and being a global policeman, there's consequences, and many times they're the victims of that commitment to fighting these man-made wars and battles around the globe, and to come back home and to know you got some need of some medical care and you can't get that's just asinine behavior to me, and it's just ridiculous. But so are a lot of other things too. But
I mean, it's happened to a lot of different soldiers for a lot of different reasons. And we both know that African-American soldiers served in the wars, and they didn't get the help or assistance or notoriety or support that they needed. You know, so the military is a tough calling, man. And I think, you know, we have expectations for how things should be, but there's a loophole there, and I think it just needs to be fixed and tweaked and worked on, because there are services available. It's just making the connections that need to happen. And I think, you know, people are comfortable, man. State government, federal government, and local government, the workers are comfortable.
Okay.
They just are. They have jobs, man. And many of those people, and they may be upset with me, they really don't like their jobs. They're just there for the paycheck. So they're not going to have incentive, they're not going to have initiative, they're just going to go through the motions.
Well, if you don't like your job, you should quit, you should go find something or develop something that you do like, and you don't not be in a situation where you're victimizing individuals who need care. That's just ridiculous. You know, if I was one of those family members, and I would be knocking on some lawyer's door to sue the government. I'll say it. If I was denied or on a wait list, I'll do whatever I could do. But they need to be, here we are, litigation society. But I just think that's just ridiculous to know that here these men and women, they departed in life because they couldn't get the necessary medical care which they needed. And they're just waiting. Somebody needs to be punished. Somebody needs to be, something needs to be rectified about that. And our president have said that he expects a full report next week. And I hope it's not just good jargon, but that something, a lot of noise in the background, really is. I hope that that could be corrected. But that's just me venting. Like I said, I'm not a veteran, but I support the men and the women in uniform. And I just think that because this is not the first time. I remember once before Walter Reed, there was all kind of crazy. Walter Reed was dilapidated and in his medical services and the roaches and rodents were roaming around in there. That's in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they corrected it then, but I guess sometimes once you let the pressure off, things just get back out of whack. And I don't know. I plan as an individual to write to that department or whoever I can to voice my opinion, because I just think that's unacceptable. We have a volunteer service as it is, and regardless of why they're in the service, they're there, and they some of them not just one term, some of them tour. They've had several tours, and maybe on that other one, that's when they got that disability. But and then we're not even mentioning about the post-trauma stress that they're having, That's something too.
Right.
That needs to be looked into.
When you have that many years of war, the system is going to be flooded. I mean, you have to think about how many people are really afflicted that have been in the military and that have disabilities and have mental and emotional and physical issues.
I heard the service. Yeah, 85 million at their service.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I don't think that the system is really prepared to handle, you know, what we've gotten ourselves into. And you can place blame, but I think it's been going on for a long time. It's not really anything new. It's just coming out now.
Right. I don't think it's overnight. I think it's something that's been going on. And as I alluded to Walter Reed, the physical place was out of order. But this needs to be definitely dealt with, and hopefully it can be corrected. And I do like what the secretary said. I can't think of his name. I could try to pronounce it, but I'll butcher it. But he said that ain't no sense of thinking about resigning. He said it happened on my watch, and I'm going to do everything I can to fix it. And things do slip through the cracks sometimes, but this is major. And there's 26 facilities that are under observation right now. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Another thing that I want to share is what in the world is happening with the spy charges that came out towards the Chinese. I don't know if you heard about that. Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. There was five Chinese men who were charged with spy charges for hacking. And what they were doing was, I'll give you one incident with those. And let me first say this. I know that there's not everybody that's in our Asian community that's guilty of this here. There are a lot of meanful, good brothers and sisters that are doing meanful things as tourists and as citizens of the United States. But these individuals were spying on the trade secrets, especially in terms of the steel industry. And they were actually spying to the extent that they were able to manufacture a lesser grade of steel, and it caused the fluctuation in the markets, and it caused some companies like U.S. Steel to lose jobs and have to lay off people and so forth, and that's why there's such a big uproar over it. And that's not the only thing. I just also heard today, because sometimes it seems like when it rains, it pours. Those of you that have pets, that's right, pets, especially dogs, they were manufacturing a dog snack, chicken and I guess some other kind of what's called. And they found out that several of the dogs have been dying from something that's inside the tree. They cannot determine just what it is. And Petco, which is one of the largest pet suppliers, have said they've been studying this for quite some time, and they put their foot down and they said they're not selling any more pet treats from China. Now, again, I'm not picking on, but I'm just telling it's all coming out now. And they are there's an investigation going on as to some of the disorders that are going on that are causing the death of their pets. Now, don't mess with a lot of people's pets, because a lot of people love their pets just like they love their own other family members, because they are family members. But this has been going on. We know some time back that there was some allegations against China in terms of the manufacturing of tires. People that were getting killed, the tires were subgrade. And so, you know, when I was coming up, it used to be a thing where it said, people used to laugh where something said made in China. And I don't have no problem with any product, any import that's coming in here from any country. But if it's of inferior quality, if it's going to harm Americans, any Americans, I think that's out of order. Because when you're cutting corners to make a buck, then that's where the buck must stop. And so, yes, if I'm sounding like I'm a little outraged today, maybe I am, because when you have a love for humanity, you have to be open to respect for mankind, and that's regardless of all ethnicities and persuasions and perspectives that people hold dear to them. But when violations like that take place, something just has to happen. But this is America, and we're involved in so much. How in the world can we monitor all of it? I don't know. But that's the latest thing that's going on in that area. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, there's always means and measures for having systems of accountability. And I just want to say that we need to make sure that Americans are safe. I think everyone who uses their products around the world really needs to be concerned about this. Now, I have some friends, and some of my good friends are Chinese, so I wouldn't say it's everyone that are cutting corners. So I have wonderful contacts and wonderful people who are really doing great work. So I don't want to make it look like it's all, but there are some people, even in this country and around the world, cut corners every day to ensure that they have money that they need. But we want to look out for humanity. We want to look out and make sure that all people, no matter what color, creed, or race, are comfortable in their automobiles or with their pets, being ensured that the products that are being served are safe for all consumption and usage.
Yes, yes, I most definitely agree. And so, I just believe that it's very important to regulate concerning the imports that are coming in to the country. But I don't know, you know, there's thousands of containers that come into this country.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
can't check them all.
Custom, right, and I know Custom does, I think, a really good job. I know I've traveled into several foreign countries and back into our country, and sometimes it's more hard getting back into our country than it is getting out of our country.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I commend them for that, but I just think that it's just a lot. I mean, you know, when you look at President Obama, I mean, hey, when he went in office, he had jet black hair. He's practically, gray now all the way.
Yeah.
It's a stressful job. You know, you have to really know what you're doing to run for that position, because there's so much, and especially when you surround yourself with trusted advisors to implement. There's so many regulations and policies and procedures that how can you just stay on top of all of that, and not omitting the fact that there's billions of dollars that are being spent. I mean, $1 million is nothing in terms of the expense of that floating around for here and there. We've all heard reports of just, you know, highways that lead to nowhere and other different things that have taken about in terms of misuse of money. But I think that regulations is very important and so forth. The other thing I think that we need to be definitely concerned about is the that camel disease. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Oh, man, it's pretty scary. But we had a private conversation about this. That, man, those camels have been in Earth or on Earth for a while now.
Yep.
A while all of a sudden. So this is my question, if I'm being honest, because that's what I do. Why now? Why is sickness or disease like mad cow or any of the other strains that come out? Why now? Because people have been traveling from Saudi Arabia and those regions for years. So why the disease now? I think it's a little bit more than that. I think We really need to look a little further into the origins of the sickness and disease. But I do think that we need to caution ourselves, and I think we really need to make sure that our health care workers are being taken care of and safe when dealing with these issues. So we have to have some new protocols in place for dealing with people who come in and out of country at some point. There's going to have to be some screening processes going on to make sure everybody's healthy.
Well, I think that we're involved in so much, not only domestically but globally. And I think that sometimes we just don't pay attention to what we're involved in. And some of that could be man-made. Some of it could be. I thank God for the CDC. I think they do an excellent job because there are so much, I'll just say it, filth and bacteria that's out there. A report just came out today about just the nastiness that a person exposed himself taking just a domestic flight because it's closed. It's a closed container. And there's just so much from a preventative standpoint. And they're even calling for, in the medical profession and the regular citizenry, to quit shaking hands. That's how bad it is. I like giving people daps anyway, but, I'm a hugger. I like that and so forth. But, man, I think we can easily get paranoid and you almost kind of feel like you need a mask to go here and go there and so forth. But you can't, you just got to kind of, sometimes you just kind of got to have, faith and just realize, but you don't want your faith to turn to foolishness either. But
sure.
But they're studying it, and they said that the isolation is definitely required. And I do know a couple of the individuals have been released that was in quarantine from it. But you just don't know. You never know what's going on and so forth. But I think that one of the bright things is that I would say America's still one of the best countries to live in. It's the only country we find people trying to get into, not necessarily get out of, unless they done something. And so we got to kind of keep our eyes on the uplook. That's what
okay.
we got to do.
Well, we have just a few more minutes. Can you hold the music for just a second so we can get the Urban Art Show announcement in? Okay, can we bring young artists in?
Okay,
we have coming to us live from Richmond, Virginia, Marvin Rose Jr.
He is an artist.
Ed Echo.
So we'll let him tell you about it, and maybe you can ask some questions, Stan.
Having Life and Times, Van Roan, at the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center, 2 South Main Street, Harrisonburg, Virginia. Make sure you be there. It's going to be really nice. And for the people here in Richmond this Friday, I'm having a pre-show here in Richmond for all my people that can't get out there to Harrisonburg. So that's going to be really nice. All my friends and family, get to meet my friends' family and get to know more about my artwork and, personal basis type thing. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Van Roan on Instagram, Marvin Van Roan Jr. on Facebook. Email is vanroan@live.com.
All right, well, there you have it. We got about 30 seconds left. Get out there. Let's do what we do. Stan, what you got for me?
I would just say, remember that it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook. Don't allow the challenges and the things that confront you cause you to be a victim of despair. Realize that hope is on the way.
All right, well, there you have it. It's another episode of Planet Evil, where we'll end Stan Ackland. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great day. Peace.